Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Moed Katan. We find ourselves on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Bet. That's 17b. And we are starting in the skinny lines, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines up in the skinny lines, about two-thirds of the way down the page. This series of recordings is a joint project of OU Torah, the OU Department of Synagogue Services, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. Okay, what we've been talking about is we had a braita that mentioned two additional kinds of people who are permitted to cut their hair on Chol HaMoed. The first one was an Avel, which we discussed in our previous recording. Under certain conditions, an Avel may be able to cut their hair on Chol HaMoed. And also, in this recording, we're going to deal with a Kohen. So a Kohen is not supposed to cut their hair during their week of service in the Beit HaMikdash. But under certain conditions, when his Mishmar, his week of work in the Beit HaMikdash, coincides with Chol HaMoed, there are conditions when he can shave, when he can cut his hair. The reason why we're mentioning both the Avel and the Kohen is because in our Mishnah, at the beginning of the Perek, which is the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Bet and the top of Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, it only gives a list of a certain number of people who can cut their hair on Chol HaMoed, and it says, everyone else, Ushar Kol Adam Asurin, that's the last line in our Mishnah, everybody else is forbidden. And it does not include the Avel, the mourner, and the Kohen. So this, we're trying to identify why were they omitted in the Mishnah. They were omitted on purpose and included in the Braita. So we said related to the Avel in our previous recording that it was a question of whether or not you viewed Miktzat Hayom Kekulo, whether or not you considered that the seventh day of Shiva could also count as the first day of the Shloshim period. And if that were the case, then a Yantif could come and wipe out the Shloshim period even on the seventh day of Shiva. Here we're going to have a similar question related to the Kohen. 10 lines up in the skinny lines. Hi Kohen, hei chidami. What is exactly the case of a Kohen? Ilema, if I were to say, Tishlim Mishmarto Erev Haregel, that his Mishmar concludes on Erev Yantif. Now, a Kohen's Mishmar always concludes on Shabbos. At the very end of their Mishmar, they go in, they get Lechem HaPanim, they get the showbread, and then they exit. So a Kohen's Mishmar always finishes on Shabbos. Now, if that Shabbos is Erev HaRegel, that means that Motzei Shabbos and Sunday is Yantif. That's usually when the Kohen would go shave. As soon as his Mishmar is over, on Sunday he would go shave, but Sunday is Yantif, so therefore he's unable to shave. However, the Gemara does not accept this reasoning. Ibayale, he should have, Ligaluche, shaved, Erev HaRegel, on the eve of the festival. Now, he can't have done it on the eve of the festival because it was Shabbos, so it's not exactly accurate. Rashi amends the text of the Gemara to say, Erev Shabbos, Erev HaRegel, that Friday, since that Shabbat was the last day of his Mishmar, and usually on Sunday he would shave, but in this case, since it's the last day, since it's Yantif on Sunday, he would be permitted to shave Friday afternoon right before Shabbat. So that's what they're saying. That's the halacha. He should have just shaved on Friday. This is actually not surprising to us at all, because the Kohen doesn't have to wait until Sunday to shave. As we saw on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, we mentioned that the Kohen is allowed to shave on Thursday or Friday in honor of Shabbos, even during his Mishmar. So it's not surprising to us at all. So we need a different case. Lo, Tzricha is not the right. Lo, so it's not that case. Tzricha, we need it for a different case. Dishlim Mishmarto, he concludes his Mishmar Baregel, on the holiday itself. In other words, let's say Pesach, for instance, starts Wednesday night, Thursday. So ordinarily, that's in the middle of his Mishmar. Ordinarily, maybe he would be permitted to shave on Thursday, but Thursday is already the Regel, and so is Friday, and so is Shabbos, and so is Sunday. So by the time he gets off of his Mishmar, which is, it's in the middle of the festival already, in that situation, he's allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed, according to this Tana. So here we say, Tana Didan, our Tana, that is the Tana of the Mishnah on Yud Gimel Amud Bet, Yud Dalet Amud Aleph, Savar, holds or reasons, Kevan Ditnan, since we learn in a Mishnah related to Kohanim, Bishlosha Prakim Bashana, there are three times during the year Hayu kola mishmarot shavot, all of the Kohanim's mishmarot, there were 24 mishmarot, all of them are equal, be'imurei hargalim, in the opportunity to bring the sacrifices on the mizbeach, the choice parts of the korbanos onto the mizbeach, uvechiluk lechem hapanim, and in receiving the showbread, which was given out every Shabbat, kiman deloshlim mishmarto beregel dame, then it is as if his mishmar did not end on the festival at all. In other words, what we're arguing is that if his mishmar ends on Shabbat and Sunday is Yantif, he doesn't have any time to shave. Or if the holiday falls out on Thursday, and it's still in the middle of his mishmar, by the time his mishmar ends, it's already yantif, and therefore he should be able to shave. But what we're arguing here, according to our Tan and the Mishnah, is that a Kohen that has a mishmar that comes right before yantif, it's as if he has an extra long mishmar, because as soon as he goes from his mishmar into the holiday is considered to be everybody's mishmar. You know, ordinarily, one of the 24 mishmars is on, and the others are off. But on Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, all the mishmars are on. So he goes from his individual mishmar into yantif, he continues in his mishmar, and so his mishmar continues, and he's not really allowed to shave. And for that reason, the Tana of our Mishnah does not permit him to shave. However, the other Tana, Vitana Bara, the Tana of the Braita, Savar, he reasons, Afagav deshayach behenach mishmarot, even though he is part of that mishmar of Yontif, because all of the mishmarot are equal on those holidays, mishmarte miha shlimale, his own mishmar has concluded. Meaning, there is still a distinction between his private mishmar the week before Yontif, which is just his mishmar, one of the 24, and the mishmar of Yontif, which is everybody's mishmar. And so since there is such a break between them, we could argue that he ought to have been able to shave at the end of his mishmar, and because Yontif intruded on that, we allow him to shave on Chol HaMoed. Okay, two lines up in the skinny line. So that's the conclusion. Two lines up in the skinny lines. Tanu Rabbanan. Our rabbis taught, Kol elu she'amru mutarin legaleach b'moed, anyone who we said is permitted to shave on Chol HaMoed, that is, someone who came from overseas and arrived on Yontif, or someone who was in jail and got out on Yontif, or someone who had his neder matir on Yontif, all those that we've been discussing, mutarin legaleach b'mevlan, they're also permitted to shave during their mourning period. Vehatanya, but didn't we learn about mourners, asurin, that it is forbidden? In other words, we learn the halacha that during Shiva and Avel is forbidden to shave. So shouldn't that trump the idea here, or does it trump the idea that he should be able to shave? Meaning, just like in Chol HaMoed, you're not supposed to shave in Chol HaMoed, but that's only because you should have shaved beforehand. So therefore, we let you off the hook if you weren't able to shave before Yontif, and we let you shave on Chol HaMoed. But in the case of an Avel, it's different. You're observing your Avilut. So shaving is a way of, you know, beautifying yourself, and you don't want to beautify yourself during the morning. Whether or not you could have done it before your mourning period is not necessarily relevant. And that's why, since we learn that a mourner is not supposed to shave, vehatanya asurin, we learn that it's usur. Can you really say that a mourner can shave during the Shiva? Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Shila. So Rav Chisda is going to provide a solution. Ki tanya hacha mutarin. When that tanya says that it is permitted for a mourner to shave, b'shetachvuhu avelav, that is when he is encumbered by mourning. Encumbered by mourning means he has serial mourning. Unfortunately, this does happen to people where you're in Shiva, you finish Shiva, and right after you finish one Shiva, you go into another Shiva. Like sometimes older couples actually pass away close together in periods of time that are close together. So if you're sitting Shiva for your father, you get up from Shiva for your father, and then the following week, Rachmana Litzlan, your mother passes away, and so you go back into Shiva. In that situation, where it's very close, meaning you weren't even able to get out of Shloshim in order to cut your hair, and then you get another Shloshim that gets on top of it, that's when we permit you to cut your hair in the second Avelus. However, the Gemara asks, "Ibish shetakfuhu avelav." But if we're talking about a case where he is encumbered by mourning, he has a second serial mourning. My irya kol elu sha'amru. What is this meaning of this verse of this brisa that it said kol elu? All of these people who are permitted to shave on the moed are permitted to shave during their mourning. What does that mean? Afilu kule almanami. It should be anybody, anyone that has two mournings in a row within 30 days. This should apply to them. Not to just the people who have a special cases that are allowed on Chol HaMoed. Ditanya, as we learn in a Braita, Tachfuhu Avilav Zeacharzeh, if he is, you know, jumped on by mourning one following another serially, Hichbid Se'aro, if his hair gets too heavy, Mekal Betar, he can lighten it with a razor. Some dispute as to whether or not this means he can get a real haircut or he can just trim the really disheveled parts. And then it also says, "Umachabis ksuto b'mayim," and he can launder his clothing with water. There's some question here. Also, based on this, the Ritva argues that laundering clothes applies not only in Shiva but also all the way through Shloshim. In the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins only in Shiva that you can't launder your clothes. But the Rama mentions that the prevailing minhag is not to wear freshly laundered clothing for all of Shloshim. However, there are a number of leniencies that we use, such as, you know, having someone else wear them for a short period of time, or things that were laundered in cold water, other kinds of potential leniencies for that. In any case, here's what it says, that everybody can shave and do laundry if they are in their second Shiva within 30 days. Ha itmar Allah. But this said it about itself. Amar Rav Chisda, as Rav Chisda said, when it said bitzar, you can shave with a razor, velo b'misparayim, but not with scissors. B'mayim, you can launder with water, velo b'neter, velo b'ahal, but not with different kinds of laundry detergents. You can do it without soap, so it doesn't get it as clean. And Rav Chisda said, this is a clear example, or this is a clear proof, that an avel is forbidden in laundry. Now, we had already on Daf Ted Vav earlier a source that came from a different place, a source from the Tekoa, the woman of Tekoa, that is the biblical citation, the asmachta in any case, that a person is not allowed to do laundry when they're a mourner. But this is perhaps another source or another raya to that. Or perhaps it is showing that even in cold water, you can't do laundry. You might have thought that only applies to hot water with detergent, but here it means even cold water without detergent. Okay, so in this case, the sum conclusion is that there are three different levels. Generally speaking, an avel may not cut their hair or do laundry during Shiva. It's usur. In a situation where they have tachfuhu avelav, where they have more than one avelut within 30 days, they can do it in cold water without detergent. In a situation where you add in that not only is it tachfuhu avelav, it's in their second morning, but it's also a situation where they were habam imdinas hayam, or they got out of jail, any of the situations where they would ordinarily be allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed, then they could even cut their hair with a scissors or do their laundry with hot water and with detergent. Okay, that ends that sugya. Just one other note about laundry. There are two different categories of laundry related to mourners. One is doing laundry itself, and doing laundry is considered a malacha. And since people who are in Avelut during Shiva are not supposed to do malacha, doing laundry would be forbidden as a malacha. The second thing is wearing laundered clothing, which is kind of a pinuk. It's like an enjoyment. And as part of the suffering of mourning, you're not supposed to wear it. So those two things are different, and they may not, depending on how you paskin the halacha, the Rishonim disagree, they don't always exactly track with each other. Also worth mentioning that Rashi is quoted in a Tosfot on Daf Chav Dalet, saying that a mourner is allowed to wear freshly laundered clothes, just not to do laundry. This is a very lenient opinion, and even though the halacha may be that way, the minhag is definitely not that way. Okay, one other topic we'll cover in this recording, which is cutting nails. We are four lines up from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, our rabbis taught, Kishem Shamru Asur Legalech B'Moed, just as they said that it is forbidden to shave or take a haircut on Chol HaMoed, Kach Asur Litol Tzipor Naim B'Moed. So it is also forbidden to cut one's nails on Chol HaMoed. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, these are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Matir, and Rabbi Yossi permits one to cut their nails. Uchshem Shamru Avil Asur Legalech B'Mevlo, just as they said it was forbidden for a mourner to cut their hair or shave during their mourning period, kach asur litol tzipor naim b'me'avlo. So it is also forbidden for them to cut their nails during their mourning period. This refers to Shiva. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi matir, and Rabbi Yossi is matir. So two sets of two machlokot, one between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, one related to Chol HaMoed, one related to Shiva. In both cases, Rabbi Yehuda is Machmir, he says it's forbidden to cut one's nails, and Rabbi Yossi says it's permitted, it's mutter to cut one's nails. Last line. Amar Ula. Ula said, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda ba'avel, the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in for a mourner, that a mourner may not cut their nails. V'halacha Rabbi Yossi ba'moed, but the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi that during Chol HaMoed that a person may cut their nails. So we split the difference. Shmuel Amar, however, Shmuel says, Halacha k'Rabbi Yossi b'moed uva avel. The halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, both in Chol HaMoed and for mourners, that you may cut your nails. De Amar Shmuel halacha k'divrei ha'mekel b'avel. Because Shmuel says, generally speaking, the halacha is like the one who is mekel in avelut. Now, this does not apply, the being lenient in mourning does not apply in every circumstance and in every machloket, but it is a general principle. That we are lenient. In this case, where we have two opinions of Tanaim that are here, we choose the more lenient opinion. That's how the halacha goes. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch does paskin that way, that it is permitted for a mourner during Shiva to cut their nails. However, there is some dispute. The Rambam mentions that the prevailing custom is not to cut one's nails with a scissors or a special nail cutter, but to do it with a shinui, and also to do it betzina, to do it privately and not publicly, to hide it a little bit. So although the Ikar Hadin is that it is, we paskin, that it's mutter to cut one's nails, the prevailing custom is to do it betzina and to do it without a nail clipper or a scissors. We'll stop there at the top of Yud Chai Aleph. Have a wonderful day, and I'll learn more tomorrow.